Blog Talk Radio.
Peace and blessings, love. Y'all know what time it is, man. It's Thursday night, breaking the curse. Brother Yon and Brother Head striving to deliver our best. Welcome, everybody, to Pops Movement Radio Networks, and you're live and on the airways, and we definitely want to hear from you. Pops Movement Radio is about people organizing peace systems. We started out as prisons organizing peace systems back in 2010, and from that time till now, we have strived to implement these six steps to peace all across America. Our six steps to peace is a program that you can find at www.popsmovement.com. You can also find more about us on the Facebook page group, which is Pops Movement Community, as well as the group. And so we look forward to hopefully being able to interact with you on social media, as well as doing our group call, our consultations on the weekend, as well as our events that go on. With that being said, family, our 6 steps to peace is 6 steps to PACE, preparing everyone as change evolves. These 6 steps goes as follows. Step one is form a bond with someone based on how you can be valuable to their life, how you can uplift their life, even if it's just through listening to them. That ability to form a bond with someone without expecting anything in return is what we call the altruistic plane, one person helping another looking for nothing but the ability to be helpful. As we form these bonds in step one, we then go into step two by identifying problems. What are some of the problems that we can relate to, that we both see and agree upon, that is existing not only in our lives but in the lives of our community, our children, our workplace, our businesses? You see, when we begin to identify these problems, we place it out there on the table and we agree upon it so that we can go into step three, which is express the importance of unity. You and I, we tie together and we understand this problem. And now we get ready to come as one as we go into step four, which is get into the solution. You know, many people want to gripe, moan, complain, point fingers, judge, criticize, and so much more. But they never, hardly ever, are willing to take a step like step four, getting into the solution. Why? Because the solution is based upon principles, and principles must be acted out. They must be sacrificed for. And that's what it is that we strive to deliver. Pops Movement is definitely so serious about step four because these principles are what all religions, faith-based groups, and righteous orders believe in. Principles of love, where we see hate. Mediation, where we see conflict. Forgiveness, where we see resentment. Understanding, where we see so much hurt, pain, guilt. And with these principles that we practice them with anyone, everyone, any race, religion, creed, organization, ideology, and what have you. As we begin to sit down to work these principles into our life, into our problems, into our everyday routines, we now are ready to go into step five, which is build a strategy. As we begin to see these problems worked out step by step, conversation by conversation, mediation by mediation, and so forth and so on, we begin to realize that we have to come back for a group think tank. How can we make these solutions or principles accessible to others? How can we pass them off to our youth, to our elders, so that they can come back out on the front lines of these struggles that we face on a daily basis with their wisdom, understanding, and knowledge? And with that being said, family, when we begin to come together and build a think tank on how we can pass these beautiful solutions off to others, we're now ready to step into step six, which is take on the responsibility. It is our responsibility to ensure that these principles, these solutions, continue to go on with or without us. You know, many people have lost their lives on the front lines of the struggle just to have everything that they organized and built fall by the wayside because no one continued to carry it on. No one really understood the concept. No one really took advantage of the opportunity to make it a part of their everyday life. And so it's our responsibility to find proteges, to find sisters and brothers, to find youth and elders who are willing to commit themselves to being a solution in their community, in their family, and in their own life. And so these are our 6 steps to preparing everyone as change evolves, and the one that we prepare the most is ourselves. And we do what is called leading by example. With that being said, we hope to see you further upon these front lines of peace, and we definitely want to encourage you to check out a secondary web page that we strive to work on across the nation. And it is not Pops-led, but we definitely want to encourage it, and that is the Peace Summit 2018. You can find out more about it at www.peacesummit2018.org. With that being said, family, welcome to our Thursday night Breaking the Curse platform. We definitely always strive to encourage you to come in and speak about the curses that can be broken within oneself. We look so many times in life outside of ourselves for the problems, outside of ourselves for the solutions. And what we strive to deliver here on Thursday night is an opportunity to see that many times we are the problem. Thus, where you find the problem, you also find the solution. It's working the problem out. And so we begin to utilize this Thursday night to see how we can look at the problem within our own mind, our own attitude, our own conception of what's going on. And now if I am the problem and the issue, then I am also the solution. With that being said, I want to open up tonight's topic and you know, bring in Brother Yon. Brother Yon, you came with this topic, brother, and I definitely want to open up this floor, man, to get a better conception on what it is that you felt in coming with this topic, and where does it sit in your heart and mind on today? Peace and blessings, brother.
What's going on, brother? What's going on, man? I'm happy to be here right now. Yeah, I was sitting back thinking, just reflecting about life and where I'm headed, and you know, we're entering the holiday times, and I'm kind of reflecting about my own personal experiences with my family, and I'm just sitting there thinking about the past, and then I'm sitting there thinking about, well, how is the past holding us back? Like, you know what I'm trying to say? Like, everything that we've been through, are we holding a grudge, or are we angry at ourselves? Are we just stuck there because, you know, we're trying to relive that high school glory days? I don't know which one it is that you're feeling or whatever it may be, but I don't know. It was something on my heart and in my mind. I felt like it was a good topic to discuss because, you know, some people curse themselves by, you know, the way they live their lives because they're stuck in the past and they're afraid of what can come in the future. So, you know, there's some things I wanted to discuss. Obviously, I'll talk about myself. What were you thinking about the topic? How did it resonate within your spirit when I brought it to you? So you're going to pray on it, think about it a little bit. So I'm curious what you guys have to say.
Well, most definitely, brother, I not only prayed on it, but I also got with some fellow comrades here in the community, and I asked them about it. You know, what do y'all think about the curse that we place upon ourselves by allowing the past to come up? And it was just awesome, brother, because I also faced an experience of having to mediate and resolve an issue that went on in the community as far as a physical conflict. But what one of the first things that a brother said, he was like, you know, Brother Hess, I'm going to be honest with you. One of my main curses that I definitely feel comes up even today is with the way that I deal with young people in the past. And I was taught in the past, you know, forget these younger cats because they don't want help. They don't want anything, and they are just about being wild and rambunctious and, you know, heartless and cold and cruel and unloving. And it's like, man, I ain't got time for that. You know, I'm older now. I'm too mature for all of that. And, you know, forget them young cats, man. If they don't want to do what's right, then I'm going to let them, you know, basically kill themselves. You know, and I'm like, whoa, that's deep. And he was like, yeah, it is deep. And he was like, I'm going to be honest with you, brother, I'm wrong. I'm dead wrong. Because these young brothers are living off of what they know. And the only thing they know is to make a name for themselves, to build a reputation, to establish themselves as an entity that is to be feared in the streets. And it's like, if that's the only system that they know, then it's the only system that they will ever go off of. He was like, and so what's challenging me today, and the only way that I can break that curse, is to get into their life and be patient and striving to help them to solve their problems outside of using violence, outside of using manipulation when they get broke, outside of utilizing, you know, the tendency to want to extort and you know, take what they want. It's like I have to take time to do more. And when he said it, it really struck me, you know, deeply, because, you know, I sometimes want a quick answer as well. And so that touched me off the rip. I also got to speak with some other people, and they was like, you know, some Christian brothers was like, you know, Brother Hess, I'm into the renewing of the mind, and my mind is being renewed. And I was like, I understand your mind is renewed, but, you know, what are some of the curses that still come up about the past? And, you know, for them, it was like there was no answer. They didn't want to think of themselves as being wrong or being one who allowed the past to come back and recapture their mind at times. And they just became closed-minded. I'm going to speak on myself. You know, when I think about the past, I think about what cursed me the most and how I curse myself the most when it pertains to the past. Is it's hard to forgive, and it's hard for me to forgive. You know, like it's hard for me to forgive my father for never taking time out of my first 10 years of life to come and speak to me and look me in the eyes and you know, hug me and tell me he loved me. It was hard for me to forgive him. It's hard for me to forgive certain things that happened in my childhood to me outside of just my father and my family. It was hard for me to forgive some of the beasts that I had. It was hard for me to forgive some of the, you know, big brothers that came into my life and that was supposed to be guiding me in the right direction, but instead they was manipulating and utilizing me for their own selfish needs, wants, and desires. They never gave nothing back to my life. And come to find out in the end, they never cared for my life, for me becoming the best person that I could possibly be. They just used me for money or used me as a soldier, you know, for their own little inner world manipulative little army, you know what I mean? And it's like when I got grown and woke up and realized what they did, I was angry, I was upset. And a part of me knew that system and I wanted to utilize it for my own wants, desires, and needs. And it's like, I think that's why I'm so indebted to, you know, my society and poverty-stricken America, because I don't ever want to be who they were to me. I don't ever want anybody to feel like I used them. And so when I think about the curse to the past, these are the things that I think about. I think about the tendencies that one has to be selfish, self-centered, egotistical, greedy, lustful, and all of these other different things that come up in the mind when we go back to the past. You know, I had wars that went on, beasts that went on that I still don't want to forgive people for, but I have to remove myself from it. And I have to go into a whole new level of existence today. And in doing that, is it easy? No, it is not. And so that's why I have to constantly remind myself of certain things. But, brother, that's what I was thinking about when, you know, you brought this topic. It's like the curse of the past is a curse of thoughts, a curse of tendencies, a curse of old habits that are hard to let go of. And I'm the author. I write it out. I think it out. I speak it out. And I act it out. And it will totally corrupt the new spiritual being that's within me. Because these things rehash themselves even when I'm asleep. I'll have a dream about, you know, hurting somebody, or have a dream about being greedy and having a bunch of money by selling drugs, or, you know, sniffing some coke and drinking some Remy Martin. It's like these are dreams that I have of the past, you know, seeing the enemy and sneaking up and getting before he can get me. And these are the curses that always tend to, from day to day, come back and haunt me. And I have to fight them every day. And so that's what came to my mind, brother. But I definitely feel like this is a beautiful topic. I'm looking forward to hearing what you have to share, and if the listening audience be willing to come in and give their testimony, a statement, or, you know, a personal situation, you know what I mean? Press one, come on in and share with us, you know, what it is that you feel, you know, comes on as a tendency to want to relive what happened in the past, or, you know, revisit what happened in the past, or strive to counter. How are you overcoming it? How do you counter those old memories, the excitement, the adrenaline, of getting down or jamming or, you know, hating or whatever it is that we dealt with the past. With that, I pass the mic, brother. Peace and blessings.
Most definitely, brother. We do have a couple callers, but before I bring them in, I just want to share what I'm going through personally, a personal battle that I'm going through. It's about to be the holidays. I'm from Chicago, and I moved away. I live in Tampa, Florida now, and kind of by myself. I have no family really here. I'm just redeveloping a new life, new relationships, new experiences, you know, basically creating my niche here away from everything that I've created there initially. And when I'm sitting back and I'm thinking about the past, I'm about to have to face the past pretty boldly this upcoming holiday season, because I'm going to go back and spend time with family that I personally don't even want to be around. I spent about a good half hour talking to my mother about it, and I'm like, Mom, I just can't be in the same room with these people for that long based on how I feel towards them. And it's like a spiritual battle that's going on within me. And basically what transpired was, I'm 32 now. This happened when I was 19. So what is that, 13 years ago? Some really foul stuff happened with my mother and, you know, a portion on my father's side of the family. And let's just put it this way. It's an act of betrayal. You know what I mean? When someone just turns their back on you and acts like you don't exist, but then as soon as you confront them about it, oh no, I love you, you know, you don't understand, we didn't even notice you. It was one of those type of situations, and they're trying to make every excuse up in the book. And I was incarcerated at the time, so when I got home, I'm stood up for my mother. Of course, this is my mama. You're not going to just treat her any type of way and think it's cool. And I confronted that side of the family, and I said, look, this is not cool. I'm not accepting this. And they all boldly looked me in my eyes and said, it did not happen. Your mother is a liar. We don't know what she's talking about. And this went on for about a couple of years where I was drifting away from that side of the family. Like, I didn't really want to talk to them no more. And one day we all got together, and I got completely drunk. I'm talking about, damn, like, what was you doing? And, you know, I'm a recovering alkoholic, so alcohol was always my kryptonite. I've done a lot of bad things in the past due to alcohol. I've hurt a lot of people. And I flipped out on everybody. I let them all know how I felt. And my mom, my brother, my sister, my niece, my cousins, everybody was there. I flipped on the whole family and let them know exactly how I felt. And they did not know how to receive it because they had admitted to the truth. And I was still holding that resentment and that pain and that struggle in my heart at that time. So, you know, alcohol speaks volumes. You know, I'm letting you know exactly how I feel. I'm still just as bold right now. I'll probably say too sober now. But I think I might use a couple of choice words that I didn't use back then. And since then, my relationship with that side of the family is like non-existent. My little cousin wouldn't even come near me. I saw her for the first time in like almost 10 years, and she was scared to even be around me. She's like, I never saw you. I saw the devil in you when you were yelling and being aggressive. And it scared me. And she's 18 at this very moment. And I'm going to have to go back, and I'm going to have to go face those individuals since that time. I haven't really spent time. I've seen them one time, and they've seen how much I'm insured and how respectful I've become. But I haven't spent more than like 20, 30 minutes there. And the only reason I went there is for my grandmother, who was out of the hospital. So I had to more or less see these people because I wanted to see my grandmother, and she was staying there. And I'm about to have to go to their house, spend some hours there like a family, and act like everything's cool. Now, when I sit back and think about it, it's like in my spirit, it's conflicting. Like, do I really want to face this, or do I want to forgive them all the way like my mother has forgiven them all the way and is even willing to have good relationships with them because she knows what kind of people these are? Don't trust them, but they're still your family. And I'm having a tough time, you know, gripping with that aspect of my reality because, you know, I've taught myself disassociate yourself from people who bring you harm, people who are not authentic, people who are not, healthy. Well, these are sick people is what I've come to understand. And I'm becoming healthy through my understanding of life. And it's no different than our people in the community. Are we going to turn our back on the people in the community because they've done us wrong, because they just don't know any better? Or are we going to accept them with loving arms like the God within us, and show them a different way of maturity, of understanding of life. So that's kind of where the topic was coming from, because there's another host on the other side of the family that I have to go see as well. And I also have not spoken to them in some years because I've done some other stuff I can't even speak on. You know what I mean? They're a little angry at me still. So we're not going to go that route. But it's like, are we living in the past, and are we being real and authentic with ourselves on what really happened? Are we confronting the facts? What emotions are we feeling? You know, like, I've written this stuff down to reflect upon it, and I guess I'm going to have to go there, you know. Like I said to my mom, can't we just spend like an hour in the restaurant and go our separate ways? Why do we have to be there for some hours? It's going to feel uncomfortable, and I'm dreading the situation. But in actuality, I should look at it as an opportunity to grow and, you know, develop as a man and be able to communicate on a level I was maybe not able to. Maybe I'm still being childish. I'm expressing myself and trying to let this pain linger within my spirit, where in all actuality, I should be letting it go, moving past it, and showing the different side of me that I believe I can be. So we're going to see how that turns out. You know, maybe I'll even speak on how it turns out on a different topic. But enough about me. Let's get to these callers. We got a few callers that want to come in, and I definitely want to hear what they have to say. Caller 612-203. Come on in, say who you are, where you from, what you want to talk about.
Peace and blessings, love and service. It's just a blessing to, you know, hear y'all brothers talk. It was a reason that I called in, and, you know, the brother was such a, you know, so eloquent with his articulation and yourself, brother, that, you know, I had to chime in, and I know. My name is Manu, and I'm calling out of Minneapolis, Minnesota, and that's Northside to be exact. Man, breaking that curse, you know, and just listening to y'all brothers, and it took me somewhere where I thought I was going, right, but I wasn't going there. Not going there, because when you really dig, when I listen to it and really dig down deep, and understand, you know what I'm saying, some of the things that I perceived to occur when I was growing up. Me coming up, you know what I'm saying, all over Atlanta and moving, you know what I'm saying, by the ninth grade I went to 10 different schools. So, you know what I'm saying, people coming and going. And, you know what I'm saying, I had this resentment and analyzing and realizing I had a resentment against, you know what I'm saying, my mom, like, they ain't really want me to have friends, right? Because we was always moving around, and it was like they ain't really want me to get settled in, right? So, you know, as I grew up, you know, I took upon this mentality, especially in the, you know, in the dirty streets of Atlanta and Decatur, you know what I'm saying? You know, when people kind of got too close to me, you know, I made sure they either moved out from around me or I got out from around them, you know. So, but I did understand that at some point in time that people came and went out of my life, and it was always like that, and it seems to be like that now, but it's perception, right? So what I've come to understand is that being that people always come and go out of my life, what is it that I can do instead of missing them and, you know, instead of feeling like I never see them again? You understand what I'm saying? Is there something that I can give them so that they'll remember me, right? Because, you know, everybody wants to be remembered for some good things or something. You know what I'm saying? When we're caught up in the lifestyle, man, going, you know what I'm saying, at a fast pace in the wrong direction. You know what I'm saying? It was, you know, because of that reputation that we, you know what I'm saying, wanted to get. You know what I mean? Or to have the homies talk about our name, what we had did and what they had seen us do. You know what I'm saying? How we did that, right? You know, to be remembered and talked about. You know, a lot of individuals, you know, have that need, and I was one of those individuals that had that need to have somebody remember me about something.
Mm-hmm.
And as people moved around, I'm like, man, what is it that I'm going to do? But I understood that the best thing that I can do And this is one curse that I have tried to keep, even though, you know, I still have difficulties, you know what I'm saying, taking the skates off and sliding around and moving around. But what I do is, and I'm very intentional now because I got a couple gray hairs on my chin, is make sure that I give them the best that I can give them right then and there, right? Because it might be a chance that something happens, might not be able to talk to them, might not be able to see them, right? So, you know, I still have some of the same, you know what I'm saying, addictions to people, right, that, you know, I slide away from them. But what I make sure that I do is be true, possibly be. Tell the truth, be the truth that you are, right, at that particular moment. And that's my reality, right? But it's also my perception based on, you know what I'm saying, what I've seen and what I've been through growing up. So, you know, I moved from down there, moved up here. I was born in Minneapolis. I'm back in Minneapolis now. I've been up here like about 13 years, right? All my family's from up here. I was raised up down there with no family. And I don't even gravitate to my family, right? Because of that fear. Well, I'm going to keep it real with you, but I don't want nothing to happen to you, right? I don't want you to go off and run off and, you know what I'm saying, something happen where you move all out of town or something, right? So I stay away from you. Live right here on Broadway, right here in the hood, right? Got family here, well, talk to them every now and then, you know what I'm saying? But one thing that I do when I talk to them and engage with them, go sit and eat and kick it with them, it's just be real. I ain't even got to say nothing. I'm here. I'm loving you. I'm hugging you. And I ain't even no hugger. Right? But to break that cycle, I hug you and I come around. Right? Antisocial behaviors. Right? That's what they call them. And we build them up. And, you know what I'm saying, even that first step that brother A.D. Hess was speaking on. You know what I'm saying? Making a bond. Meet somebody. I can't even count how many people I met because I understand that that's breaking the cycle. So I want to thank y'all, brothers, for, you know, bringing forth this topic, man. And I just wanted to share that little piece, and I want to sit down because, you know, just as you, brother, was so eloquent and touching of me, you know what I'm saying? I want to get touched some more. So peace and blessings and love and service, and, you know, I'm going to fade back.
Thank you, brother. We love you very much, man. That's one of the originators of Pop's movement, is people organizing peace systems coming out from behind the walls, man. That's love, big brother.
Man, it's been a long time since I heard that, brother, right there. Peace, bro. Good to hear your voice.
And you know what? It's good to be heard. It is so good to be heard.
So, thank you.
Indeed. Well, if you're still here, brother, I'll definitely come back to you at the very end for a closing comment or, you know, anything additional. Appreciate
indeed,
it. Let's go to the next call.
Sir.
Most definitely. Let's go to the next caller, caller 770-940, and then right after that, 7808. We'll be right with you after that. 770-940, come on in. Show who you are, where you're from.
Peace and blessings to the brothers and sisters on the airwaves, kings and queens. I'm calling from South Carolina, the area of Charleston. I'm fine for time, but I like what I'm hearing so far, man. Basically, the topic about the youth, man, and the closed-mindedness. I can relate so much to the topic that you speak about, man, because once upon a time, I used to be one of those kids, man, the closed-mindedness, didn't want to hear nothing, don't want to learn nothing, et cetera, et cetera, until sit down and let you build myself up to the man that I was taught to be. It's like you said, he wanted me to be a way to growth and development. That's what I follow. But stuff, man. Just like one of the brothers said, you can't give up on the youth, man. Because somebody gave up on us, and we wouldn't be here today. You know what I'm saying? But once we realize that it's just one people, all is one. Not a color barrier thing, but all is one. We accomplish a whole lot more past, just like the brother. There's so many distractions that we're facing, man.
Hey, brother, I really apologize for cutting you off. Peace, bro. I don't know if you can speak a little more clearly on your phone, but every other word's kind of muffly. I just want to give you the opportunity to be heard, so that's why I'm cutting you off.
All right. Pardon me, bro. What I was saying, man, what you was hitting on was some key notes, man, basically about the youth and the kids being closed-minded. I was saying that once upon a time I was one of those youth that basically didn't want to hear nothing, didn't want to learn nothing until I was forced to sit down and pick up a book. You understand what I'm saying? But that take up too much time. I was buying for the time. Once we wake up and realize what the bigger picture, man, I really get way farther than we're doing today. But I was just saying, man, a great topic in the show tonight, man. But peace and blessings to the brothers.
That's love, family. Thank you very much for coming on in. Definitely appreciate, you know, what you had to say. Definitely come back to you at the very end if you want to add anything additional, brother. Thank you very much. Caller 708-731, come on in. Sure who you are, where you calling from.
Peace and blessings, my brother. My name is Ike Taylor, and I'm calling from Chicago. And I would just like to say, I appreciate the previous callers and the persons that was talking. That was really very insightful, bunch of input and insight. I commend you. I just want to say that the brother that just got to speaking about how he will be remembered, listen, brother, no matter what you do in life, you will always be remembered by your words and deeds and how you treat people. So if you live in righteously, you don't have to worry about that. They're going to speak on it. So just continue to live, continue to struggle. And as the brothers were speaking, from going from A to B, I couldn't help but think about Larry and what he used to say about the evolution. And that's all it is, growth and development. And one more thing, man. Tomorrow they're going to celebrate Veterans Day. And I just wish that all of us would take time out to just think about all our fallen soldiers and sisters. Just take a minute and just remember them and their service and the love that they showed. And they have to be good people if you still remember. All right, you keep them alive in your heart and in your soul. All right, my brothers, I'm through. And another thing, y'all remember, family first. Family is first. Always remember that. Family is first, regardless. They still individuals, so they're going to have their own personality, attitude, and they can't be what you want them to be. But family is first. All right. So I'm going to say good night. Y'all take care, and may your God continue to bless each and every one of you.
Pardon self, big brother. How you doing this evening? Mr. Taylor, are you still alive with us?
He actually dropped off, brother.
Oh, man. You know, man, I got love for that brother right there, man. He was a brother that grew up with Mr. Larry Hoover. And he got so much wisdom up on this belt. You know, just like Brother Manu. You know what I mean? These brothers got so much wisdom under their belt. And I don't think it's just from spending time, you know, having a different type of therapy that most have, which is cell therapy. But I also think it's because, you know, our higher power called these brothers to have a level of understanding that can be grasped by many others. So I thank God for these brothers. I thank God for our brother out of Charleston, South Carolina, because these are the spirits that have elevated to a level above the problems,
Not that they don't have problems every day. Not that they don't have issues. Not that curses don't come back in and attempt to shake their life up. We all get shook up, and we should be shook up from time to time, in my humble opinion, because it keeps you founded, so to speak. You know where you're at, and you know what you're supposed to be doing where you're at, as long as you don't get too comfortable, you know. And so, you know, I just want to give great salutes and honors to the brothers that took the time out to be here with us tonight. And, you know, Brother Yon, I want to be honest, man. You know, when I listen to your topic, one of the things that definitely hits my heart is the fact of where we're at in our lives, even here with Pop's Movement. One of the things that we can do is to, you know, allow the past to keep us hurt or to keep us angry or to keep us holding on to things that no longer have any value, or we can let it go. And when I listened to what you were sharing about your family, and I thought about what I was sharing earlier about my own trials and tribulations, issues, as well as those brothers I interviewed earlier on today in the community, it's like we free ourselves from so much baggage. I mean, I remember when I was in the chain gang, fam, and I used to be going from prison to prison after I done stabbed a dude, or I done knocked out an officer, or I done, you know, robbed somebody in the joint, and the administration had done felt like I was a threat, and so they would ship me to another high security facility. And in process of going from one prison to another, they would make me pack all of my property. And I kept a lot of books, a lot of legal work, a lot of clothes, and I usually had a lot of food. And where the normal convict would be chained up carrying a small bag with a Bible, a few pieces of paper of legal work, and a couple of personal possessions like cup, bowl, and a sweater, I had all of this stuff. And so I'm chained up, shackled from the ankles to the waist, and shackled the wrist onto the waist, and here I am struggling to tote 4 or 5 different bags full of stuff. And I'm saying that to say that this is the curse that comes on me every time I allow past issues to come back up in my life. You know, when things come back from the past that's unresolved, I think it's not strange, because I need to deal with that. If it's about lusting, and I know I'm supposed to be committed to an individual, then I need that baggage to come up, that lusting baggage, so that I can take this baggage out and remove it. Well, what are you saying, Brother Hess? I got memories of women that I used to have dealings with, or used to want to have dealings with, or whatever. The same thing with money. Memories used to be of me being poor, and I wanted money so bad. And even now to this day, I will, you know, catch myself wanting more money than what I may actually really need right now. And so I get caught up in this rat race of trying to get money, trying to get money, trying to get money, when I'm supposed to be striving at utilizing my time in a more valuable place. And I end up becoming depleted. I end up becoming fueled down. And I realize that it's a curse that I'm placing upon myself, and I have to back up from it, because I'm carrying too many bags, and I was not built to tote 4 and 5 bags with my hands shackled down. And even today, though I'm free, I can still only carry so much. I'm only human. And when I began to deal with the anger from the past of old hates and resentments, or lustful desires, or greed for money and power
you know, when I think about wanting influence over people, and when I think about, you know, the tendency to want revenge, or when I think about, you know, having a issue within myself where I'm supposed to be taking time out to help people, but really I want to spend that time doing my own thing, enjoying my own time. I got to realize, family, that that's a curse. And if I don't break that curse by getting real with myself, becoming honest, and letting go of the past, then I'm going to be just like a story where they said, if you look back on the past, you're going to dry up and become a stick of salt. And I don't want to be dried up. I want to remain moisturized. They say the body is mostly water. I don't need to be dry. You know, I think about the valley of dry bones. I don't want to be one of those structured skeletons. I need meat on me. You know, I need brain in my mind. I need a heart in my chest. I need a spirit and a soul force within the cracks and crevices of my inner being. And to have that, I got to continue to remove anything that want to dry me up. And so when we think about this curse of the past, you know, it really touches me in a deep way to stay conscious of who I am and whose I am and what a righteous man is supposed to be doing. Now, I'm going to make mistakes, and I'm going to have memories, and I'm going to have thoughts, and I'm going to have desires and cravings and, you know, all of that stuff. It's going to come up every day. But I have the choice to nurture myself with positive self-talk before I end up talking myself into big regrets that I can't go back and get. It's the only November the 9th I'll ever have. And just for the day, I want to utilize it to break these curses instead of building them on like that baggage and been weighing down myself to where I can't move like a man of God is supposed to. I pass the mic back to you, brother. Peace and blessings.
Peace, bro. I do have something to build on upon what you just said about, you know, staying moisturized, not so dry. So I'll come back to that because we've got a couple of people who want to come in. They're waiting for a little bit, so I definitely want to come in with them first. Call 313-784. Thank you very much for waiting so long. Come on in, share who you are, and, you know, where are you from?
I was one of my family. This is Royal Sullivan. I want to say, man, I'm listening to all this knowledge, man, this insight, and I love it, man. My brother Hess, man, I'll be honest with you, we have like this bond, man, you know what I'm saying? We never met each other in person, but we got this bond. I've been down too, not as nearly as long, but Southern institutions can one day can be life, you know what I'm saying? So this is a little bit different from up here. I'm from Detroit. I'm right now being in Detroit. But what I want to say is to break that curse, some of the solution would be to forgive. And a person say, well, you know, you forgive but don't forget. That's kind of contradicting yourself, you know what I'm saying? Contradicting yourself. Because if you don't forget, then how can you forgive? If you're constantly dwelling on past situations and what a person did to you or didn't do for you, you're not technically you're not forgiving, because it's always going to be there. It's always going to hurt. It's going to bring up, you're going to keep animosity in your heart and your spirit. And so you're not technically, you're not forgiving. To forgive is to forget. And that doesn't mean it's going to make me unwise and I'll fall for it again, because we live by, we are taught by a learning behavior. So once you've been enlightened to something, then it's going to stick with you unless, you know, something unnatural comes up like a head injury or what have you, you know what I'm saying, or you just don't put it to use. But even still, it'll still be in your forethought, right from wrong. So to forgive, you have to let go. And let go on some of the things in the past. I'm not even going to halfway get off into my upbringings or what have you. You know what I'm saying? It'd be a long story, but I've been through a lot. And that's why I can kind of, out of, you know, me and Brother Hess have talked before, so that's why I bring him up, especially, you know, reckon with our boys, because his struggles have been, you know, it's so familiar with a lot of us, but especially myself. You know, I've been in position before. I'm a representative of growth and development. I've been in position before down south. I live in Arkansas, Mississippi, and Memphis. And in Vicksburg, Mississippi, I was in position. In North Little Rock, Arkansas, I was in position. And so when it came through, and I was blessed up under 360, you know what I'm saying, not individuals. I'm not going to go off into all the what it stands for and all this thing like that. But it's not, you know, 360 raised me, and now I'm now 720 made me or what have you. No, it's 720 been out for a minute. Just individuals had that same mindset of 360. But I was given the 360 laws, where it was we don't love, we hate what we want, we take, you know what I'm saying, things, situations like this. And what that did is anytime you're taught something, it becomes you. And you study it for so long and you act upon it, not just study it, but you act upon it, it becomes you. You become that. And when you do, And you come into it's like from the Old Testament to the New Testament, from 360 to 720, and you come into this new enlightenment of, man, you know, we have to let go, we have to change our views, change our way of thinking. In fact, we have to coincide better with peoples, with an S, organized, not just people, with an S, peoples, organized. Okay, that means all anybody up under the five. And that was hard for a minute. When I was younger, that was hard for me because of how I was raised. When I went through wars, I done heard bullets go by my head, sound like bumblebees. Whether it be in the institution, almost getting stabbed, going, you know, just going through a whole bunch. And then when you come break away from that, you're like, man, how can I even associate with these cats? And I have, you know, had situations done where it ended people or what have you, and they tried to do the same for me or what have you. You know what I'm saying? I'm not going to go off into that because I'm not glorifying it. But the thing is, and then you man, you want me to associate, be in the same room, and in fact, work with or work around these individuals. But see, what it is it's like school. It's being taught. And this is what I had struggled with was, man, you know, these cats, this is not us. Even if it is the unity, the black unity, white, it doesn't matter. But if we went up under the italics of the black power movement and things like that, but this right here is my opposition, what they call an ox or whatever. You know what I'm saying? How can I just go from hating one of them, trying to kill him, to embrace him? You know, and this is what we are on now in the streets between different tribes, between different organizations, is this mentality. And it all coincides with breaking away from that routine, that evil, and letting go. You know what I'm saying? And this right here is a righteous topic because it broadens a person's mindset in how they think, well, man, you know, am I to do this? How can I do this? And it lets a person give some insight where even if a person did know, it'll bring back up that knowledge. And let's reinforce it, because when I hear you all talk, I'm going to tell you what it does to me. It inspires me. It's like, man, you know, I'm kind of slipping. And that is the role that we are to do. We are to inspire others and have them break away from that old mold, come into the new, embrace and let go and live right to the best of my ability. I'm going to conclude. I know there's other people waiting, but I just want to say, you know what I'm saying, all is one. And I love you all, your brothers and sisters, whoever's listening. I thank you for giving me this opportunity, and I love the show, and I love you all. And peace and blessing.
We love you too, bro. Most definitely thank you for coming on and sharing from your heart as well as your testimony of life, brother. Peace and blessings.
Peace, brother. We love you too, man. I appreciate what you just said. I learned a lot just from that little bit of time. So I definitely appreciate what you had to share right there, because definitely relates to what I'm going with my family, but it's just a different way of expressing it as well. Well, love, brother. Let's go to the last caller before we close the show out. If anybody else does want to come in, please press 1. We've got a few minutes left. We'll, you know, close it up with anybody else who wants to speak, and, you know, close up with the people who have spoken. Caller 404-781, please come in, share who you are, where you calling from.
Peace and blessing, love and service. This is Brother Mincy coming in. First and foremost, from everything that I have heard since I've tuned in, I know that the main confirmation that I gained from everyone's talk and speaking was the thing about family. And, you know, there has been an issue of mine for a minute or for a while as well. Due to the fact that, you know, I've been a type that have been self-centered for a while. You know, maybe that's what I shall say. Only due to the fact that I did not really pay attention to others as much as I should have probably done. But, you know, it's really about the fact that the season or the holiday is coming up now, Thanksgiving especially. And I have a chance and an opportunity to be acquainted with family all over again. And, yeah, there are those of them that will be there that, you know, I have grown a distance from. And, I mean, even to the point of where, you know, I've just had a young one. He's no more than about 3 months, and I really was on a level of saying to myself that I really don't even mind or care for them to, well, I don't have the care for them to meet, you know, him or whatnot. But once again, you know, that was that self-centered act and I guess mind state rather. But, you know, one thing about it is I did hear the brother not too long ago mention about, you know, the forgiveness and everything of that nature. And how could you forgive if you don't forget? And there would be a contradiction to, you know, what that's all about. But, you know, from my understanding or from my interpretation of that, it wasn't really that, you know, if I don't forget, then I can't forgive. Like, I can always forgive what someone has done to me. But that doesn't mean necessarily that I will forget it. Not to say that I will continue to have intentions on, you know, causing harm or to really have any type of, how can I put it, grudge or animosity or any type of envy towards them. Because what I can do is, you know, not forget what had been done. Forgive you for what you had done or have done, and still be able to, you know, come around after the fact and still spread my love and everything, you know, because I have come to an understanding that maybe you didn't mean any harm, and if you did, then, you know, I can overlook that and bypass it. But at the same time, you know, if it is to or were to ever occur again, then I should know right then and there that, you know, I should cut off those ties, you know. But outside of that, man, you know, back to what it is that I have been facing and struggling with lately. You know, I used to do my thing on the streets as far as, you know, what they call slanging. And other words, you know, selling drugs and stuff like that. And what I had done outside of that lifestyle, or I'm going to say to progress from that lifestyle, was to cut that off and begin my own, I began my own business. You know, I have a moving service and everything like that, you know, of that nature, because I wanted to do everything legitimate and, you know, legal. So what I had done once I had started my business, I said at that very moment, due to the fact that I look back on what it was that I had done, you know, before then, as far as being out in the streets, and I look at my younger brothers as well as, you know, some of the sisters, well, all the sisters as well, you know, I look at what it is that they are trying to do, and I know that it's no good, and I know what it lead them up to, because I have also served, you know, prison time and everything, you know, due to the fact. And, you know, I've been placed in a level 5 prison and everything, man. So I witnessed a lot of things that they have not seen, and I would not want them to, you know, go through it or have to witness that, you know. So, like I say, once I came up with my business, I kind of reached out to them, you know, to basically put them under my wings and everything, to show them that, man, look, I know that it's going to be slow to make the money, and, yeah, you may have to do some hard work. But I guarantee you, let me take it back. I guarantee you that by you doing this here, it'll keep you from going there. By all means, you understand what I'm saying? And I try to teach them the value of that, because, see, like, by you going out here and you want to go into these streets and you want to make this fast money, one thing that you have to understand is that in your mental state of mind, you're going to say that, oh, I can go out here and I can sell this right here and I make this money right here just this fast. But one thing that you don't pay attention to is this part. You can go out there and make that money that fast, but just as fast as you can make that money, you're going to lose it. You know why? Because the first thing that's going to come to mind is, as soon as you make that, you're ready to go spend that. Instead of you putting that back, you understand what I'm saying, to do something, you know, much more greater, the way you don't have to do that any longer. So then you're going to also look at it like it right here. If I go get me a 9-to-5, what's going to happen? It's going to take me all week to make just a portion of what I would make in a couple of hours. You see what I'm saying? So, you know, yeah, at times, man, you know, from me having this business and, you know, orchestrating this or whatnot, and, you know, also outside of my business, going to work for others, and I've been, I'm talking about this is recently, man, like last week, you know, I started with a company, and it was a bakery or whatnot, man, and, you know, those folks were, you know, coming at you so nasty, they'll try to tell you to go home earlier, and you ain't really, you know, like, you probably go in, and you probably work by the hour, and they can tell you, you know, go home or whatever, clock out, and this and that to the third, and you like, hey, man, I ain't really made no money. So, you know, what's going to come to mind for a person that done been out there and know what they can make, they're going to say, well, okay, you know what, that's okay, that's fine, it's cool, because I can leave from here, and I can go back to the street. You understand what I'm saying? And it'll just take me a couple of minutes to make anyways what I would have made with you all within, 5 days out of the week. So, you know, that has been a constant battle with me. But, you know, at the end of the day, just like, you know, you can forgive and can't forget, you know, I sit back and I think about what it was, the consequences that came behind me doing that, to make me appreciate what it is that I am doing right now. You know, I sometimes go back and I told my fiance over and over and over again what it is that I used to do, you know, back in the days, for her to appreciate me now today as the man that I am, you know, and stand firm on those grounds. Because, you know, it's not for me to tell her that for her to feel like, oh, well, you're not able to do this for me now and all this and that like you were able to do for them. And I say, well, look at here. Look at the bigger picture. By me standing firm on what it is that I am doing now, see, I don't have to worry about if I'm out there hustling that I got to watch my back from one or two things, the law or somebody trying to rob me. You understand what I'm saying? And on top of that, if I'm out here with all this right now here, you can see this. Like, I might have me a little pound or whatever, and I can say, hey, this pound, I'm finna break it down, and I'm finna bring, you know what I'm saying, these little bands back or whatever off of this. This is what I'm finna make off of it. Now, what if I go out here and I got me a couple of ounces or whatever, and then when I get out there, I get busted. All that finna get confiscated. That money that was in my pocket finna be labeled as drug money. That's gonna be taken away from me. Then, what I'm finna be doing? I'm finna be paying, you know what I'm saying, what it is, the court fees. I'm finna be paying, you know what I'm saying, probation officers or whatever, or the probation office, you know what I'm saying? All this extra that's coming on. So now, I'm pushing out more than what I was gonna make. You know what I'm saying? See, I'm telling you this because of the simple fact that I'm telling you what I used to do and what I love doing now, because this right here can take me a long ways compared to that. Now, not to say that, you know, it's not possible that I can, you know what I'm saying, actually blow up off of doing that, or, you know what I'm saying, get somewhere with that. But, man, come on, let's be honest, man. A lot of them people that probably don't really got somewhere with it, they done had to do something extra. They done had to do something extra. I'm not willing to do all that, man. You know, so it's like, here, appreciate what I have going on. But like I say, that is a battle that I had to face, and, you know, I had to fight and everything like that right there, man. But, you know, most importantly, out of all of that deal, it's about, you know, me being legit. And also, you know, when it comes to the family, man, you know, whatever it is, because I'm not speaking to some of everyone that's on, you know, the broadcast right now, that, look, man, with family, no matter about what it is that they had done, man, because I done lost a lot of people while I was, you know, in the chain gang, or, you know, when I was serving time, even in the county, that was so dear to me and so close to me and who I really, dearly love, truly, wholeheartedly, man. And for me to have to read it through a letter, not being able to attend funerals or be able to see them, to give my last word to them or to hear their last words to me. And the main word is, I love you. But also, you know, for the public defender or the pretenders or whatever to come to me and tell me that, you know, I done lost a relative and everything like that right there, man. Like, I'm telling you now. You know, before anybody is to leave, you know, to leave you, man, like, whatever it is that you have going on with your family, man, and, you know, no matter how bad the situation is, even if they done stole from you, man, you know what I'm saying, like, just forgive that, and like the brother say, you know, let it go. But at the same time, I mean, you got to understand, even some family ain't your family for real, you know, because only thing that they come around to do is to take from you. But, you know, man, you can still deal with them, but just keep them at a distance. But, you know what I'm saying, I always remember that it is family. But outside of that, man, you know, everything that y'all had to come, whatever y'all had to speak upon and, you know, what y'all had brought to the table, especially, you know, Ike, man, that's one individual that I was ready to hear from, you know. I speak to him on the book and everything, but actually hear his voice, you know, and the next step is maybe possibly, you know, be able to, you know, meet him in person. But outside of that, for him to get on and, you know, speak his words and everything, man, like, that meant a lot to me. But Brother Hess, you already know, you know, when it comes to you, man, man, you already know how I feel about you, my brother, you know, man, because all of y'all are inspirations to me. You know, and I mean, because I'm still growing and I'm still learning, man. But I'm not finna, you know, try to hold up too much time, but I had to go ahead and, you know, express that and, you know, speak on that. And I'm going to go ahead and pass the mic.
Already, man. We love you, bro. It's love and service.
Most definitely, man. My brother shared a whole lot. I took a lot from that. I definitely can relate to that as well, you know, striving to stay legit and focus on, you know, doing the right things and not going back to the old ways and old habits and, you know, especially making that legit money. It comes so much slower, man. It's like,
yes,
it's like someday you sit back and you remember.
But it's
that,
worth it, though. It's
right?
Worth it. It's worth it.
Nah, but this is what I'm learning from my trials and tribulations of life. If I take that same mentality, that same attitude, that same hunger, that same drive, that same perspective, that same, you know, respect, that passion, all of that, and I apply it to the other legit side of the world, and I learn their ways, their customs, their abilities. I learn the trades, and I learn all of what's available to me. It can come just as fast. The problem with people is they get stuck with that old mentality. It's like it's so hard to do, and I don't want to do it because I want to procrastinate. I want to be lazy. It's like nobody taught me this, and they don't want to just go study something. They don't want to, you know, the trials and tribulations of it and do what they got to do. So, of course, they're going to be stagnant in their ability to make more money. It's not easy. Nobody said the stuff is easy. They say, but once you do attain it, then you're going to look back and say, well, I did that, and this is why I did that. That's why you have those rags-to-riches stories. You know, we got so many individuals that, you know, let's look at, what's his name, owner of the Dallas Mavericks, Mark Cuban. He wasn't rich. Look at the owner of Apple. He wasn't rich when he got started. He had an idea, and he turned it into what it is today. That's what people are not understanding. What are you going to do? If you're going to be stuck in the mentality of the past, like, well, it's hard, and you're not going to look at it as like, well, and the new mentality is like, well, I can do this if I apply myself. I study, I research, and then I trial and error it. Let's not forget, Apple didn't become Apple through not trial and error. He got denied the first time. Michael Jordan got denied the first time, too. It's like, that's how life is. So if we dwell on the fact that we failed and don't attempt to keep trying and keep succeeding, we're going to be stuck right where we're at. Thomas Edison, trial and error over 1,000 times to create the light bulb. 1,000 times. I guarantee you I'm not going to try something 1,000 times. I'm going to quit after the third. I'll just be real with myself and real with y'all. But that individual said, I'm going to do this. I'm going to be successful, I'm going to make money, and I'm going to change people's lives. And until we have that mentality, we're going to be stuck right where we're at in the past. That's what's going to keep haunting us, that past. And that's the problem with a lot of individuals who do get incarcerated and come from that street life because they never strive to experience anything other than that street life. And then when they go get a job and they're looking at their paycheck, and they're like, man, I'm making $10 an hour. I can go make $10 flipping this bag right quick, though. But then that bag turns into another bag, to a bigger bag, and an even bigger bag. And now we're sitting back like, damn, I should have never sold that bag. That's just the reality of the situation. But, you know, that's a different subject for a different day. I don't want to keep you all too long. We got one more call. I'm going to bring them in the last closing seconds. Caller 706-386, come on in. Sure who you are and where you come from.
Peace, love, and light. Yeah, this is Brother Vance Kelly L. Day from Augusta, Georgia. How's Pop's family?
Blessed and highly favored, brother. Come on in, man. Go ahead, Brother Hess.
Yes.
You got it.
Okay, well, you know, I just wanted to kind of add on. I kind of caught on a little late, but dealing, you know, about the forgiveness part, you know, I think once people really understand, you know, the forgiveness is all about, you know, your benefit, not for the offender, you know, the perpetrator or whatnot that you had to forgive, you know, because a lot of times when we keep it real, a lot of the situations we get into, you know, it be ourselves or our ego that just won't let certain things go. And then we, in retrospect, you know, instead of if you ain't looking for someone to blame, you're going to find, you know, something like, dang, well, maybe I could have handled that different. And then, you know, yada, 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 this wouldn't have happened that way. But, you know, that's the most powerful thing to actually do is to forgive someone who has truly wronged you, though. Well, you didn't do nothing wrong. You didn't do, you know, or you didn't deserve whatever the reaction was. You felt, and you, because carrying that grudge, it puts a lot on your spirit and weighs you down and stunts your growth. And that's what this lifetime, this experience in life is about growth. And if you ain't, you know, if you're moving at a snail's pace, so be it. But, you know, we got to understand that, you know, there are systems put in place for you to go at a snail's pace. And when we learn how to jump those hurdles and not allow those things to hold us down, because when we respect universal laws, it boils down to it. Because I heard, you know, and this is, of course, just my opinion on you know, I grew up in the hood, too, and what we don't realize is even though we out there selling, you know, this poison to the people, which is essentially what it is, we profiting off of that someone else's, you know, addiction or whatever, you know, and it drew them to that addiction. See, a lot of times we don't understand a lot of the people that are going are really good people. They going through some things that, you know, you shouldn't have to go through, so they use certain things to escape from. You know, it could be a range of things, from growing up in a mother, father's household, abusive household. Just people use a lot of things to, you know, to escape, because we ain't there for each other on a level to where, okay, brother, I'm going to listen to what you got to say because I care about trying to help you seriously see what you're doing wrong and help you do right, instead of say, okay, I'm going to listen to what you say so I can criticize you or find something to say about you slick on the side. And what it is dealing with integrity issues that we got to get to where we really care about our brothers and sisters. And like, yo, I don't want to sell this poison no more, not for the time that I can get, but for what I'm doing to another household, what I am contributing to the downfall or degradation of a people that needs to rise. And if I keep selling this poison, I'm essentially putting my foot or my knee on my brother's or sister's neck to where they can't escape that. You know, there used to be a time in the hood where I grew up where brothers and sisters wouldn't sell to somebody's mama or you know, their girlfriend or wife. They, you know, there's a little line that people wouldn't cross, because, you know, I seen the crack era come in, transitioning from just people snorting and smoking weed to the whole crack era. There was a whole different mentality change. And in the beginning, you know, like I said, people wouldn't do certain things. There was still some integrity, but as a while, that cracked the foundation of the strength and the integrity of the original people, you know, the gods of this universe. So we got to really grasp how things have been put into play. And even though the systems have been set up a certain way, we got to look, yo, I don't want to do this not because of the time they give me. And it's a trap. That's what people sitting in the cell to sell the poison. I'm sitting in the trap. You got this trap music. Everything is a trap to keep the godly, you know, the real God within subject, you know, subjected to the lower self, to the vibrations that they want you to stay at. Because in order for you to rise, you got to see what's within yourself that's holding yourself back. No blame game. Check yourself and then correct yourself. Just my takes. Hey, peace and love, Brother Heslow. What you doing, brother, man? I'm just glad you got a chance to be able to speak and get it off my chest.
It's a blessing to hear you, beloved brother, and I love you too, family. You stay focused, all right?
Yes, brother. Yes, indeed. Give thanks.
That's peace.
All right. With that being said, peace and blessings, love, and so continue to thank everybody that has chimed in tonight. We want to continue to encourage everyone to remember that when we begin to blame others for cursing us, we give them the power over us. We give them the ability to bring a solution. But when we see how we can create curses within our own lives, mind, attitudes, and relationships, then we now empower ourselves to be the breaking of those same curses. And so one of the things that we challenge everybody to do each Thursday night is to chime in right here with us at Pops Movement Radio Networks and challenge yourself to see how you can be creating some of the very curses that has busted some of the greatest opportunities our lives have seen.
But now we can utilize that in order to be able to recreate some of the greatest opportunities our life is to ever know. We encourage you. We encourage you to see how your mind can create curses. Your mouth can speak curses. Your eyes can look for curses. And just as you do that, you also have the ability, the mind, the sight, the speech to break every curse, every stronghold, and to dispel anything that wants to capture you and hold you down. We love y'all very much, man, and thank y'all all for tuning in and chiming in on tonight's topic. And we definitely want to encourage you to always remember that where there is hope, there's a place for faith. And when you have faith, fear ain't in this house any longer. We look forward to every opportunity to become better and better. You know, when you think about the seeds, many of us have been seeds that sit on shelves or in packages for very long, waiting for others to sell us or waiting to be discovered. But when you plant that seed in spiritual ground, a righteous ground, it has nothing left to do but to develop into the plant that it was first created to be. Many of us have not been planted. Some of us have been placed to the ground, but we have not been placed deep enough yet. And if you find yourself not knowing your calling in life, not being able to expand your wing inside of your purpose, then go a little bit deeper within yourself and find that you truly have all that you need to grow and develop into the best man and woman that you can ever possibly be. We love y'all so much, and I turn this mic back over for closing to our brother Jan Gazinski. Peace and blessings. Love and service.
Peace, brother. Thank you very much for doing that. I guess I was talking to myself because I was still on mute. but I appreciate everybody coming on in. It happens like that sometimes, you know. I appreciate everybody coming in and speaking, you know, from the hearts in regards to how they look at breaking the curse of their past. I just want to leave everybody with my little closing comment in regards to, you know, living in the past. The past is 5 minutes ago. The past is 5 years ago. Past can be 50 years ago. It's what you make of it. You know what I mean? Life is all about how you deal with the situations that are presented to you at the moment that you're living. It's one moment at a time, just like the, you know, Alcoholics Anonymous say, it's one step at a time. The important thing is that you do not allow the past to feed your future in a negative way. You take it as a growing experience. You take it as a, something that will assist you in your, you know, development as a human being, not necessarily a man or woman, but as a human being. And that you, you know, you're, the God within you is able to shine. A lot of times we never really discover that central figure within us, and we let that hold us back. And I'll just leave with this little story. There's this girl that I'm mentoring right now, and she's going through a thing because on Valentine's Day, a guy she was dating for about 2 years walked out on her to the neighbor and developed a relationship with that individual. And now they have a child, and this woman is suffering from this individual who lives across the street, and she's holding that resentment, that pain, that anger, that suffering of what he did to her every single day. And I was sitting there on Tuesday for about an hour. I came by her house, you know, for, you know, a person just to talk to her, and I saw how down she was. And I spent an hour counseling her about how that moment in her life is supposed to propel her to her future. It's going to make her stronger and give her all the positivity, because she's suffering from a depression and she can't get out of. And that's because she's stuck in that moment of what he did to her and that pain and that struggle that is given her, that she doesn't know how to see anything towards the future. She thinks she's going to be alone forever. She's never going to have this. And she says she's forgiven him, but she's so ashamed of what he's done to her that she can't even face him. Until we face our demons, until we face our struggles, we're going to be stuck right where we were a year ago, 5 years ago, 10 years ago, and we're never going to keep going forward. I like to look at the future. I like to move forward. You know, it's going to be what? Today's the 9th. On the 16th, it's going to be 3 years since I got home. I didn't do too much time, but I did enough time to make me understand I'm not doing any more time. Since that day, I've made a lot of changes, but that's a choice I got to make. So when I sit down and look at the past, I say, you know what? I don't care if I got too many families. I'm doing something today, and I'm going to keep pushing forward, and that's what's most important. So, I appreciate everybody coming in. I love y'all. Love you, Brother Hest, always pushing me, you know, continuing to try to boost my ego, boost my head up, man. I already got a big head and a big ego. You can't do no more. So, I love you, man. I wish you all many peace and blessings, and have a good night, everybody.
Much pride to back off of it. I wear it well when no one can see. I'm talking about pain. Gonna take trials to be delivered. Y'all know that happiness ain't for free. I'm heading down the wrong way. Please, somebody, won't you? Oh, please, for somebody, please, not me, yeah. My soul is on fire. And I can't take this pain away.
Got me running, got me running, got me running, got me running, got me running.
My soul is on fire. And I can't take another day.
I'm still hurting, about to give up. Done lost sleep and lost weight. I'm doing bad. Getting hard to keep my chin up. I need somebody to kneel and pray for me. Yeah. I'm heading down the wrong way. Oh, please, won't somebody please stop me? Oh,
my soul is on fire. And I can't take this pain away.
Got me running, got me running, got me running, got me running, got me running.
My soul is on fire. And I can't face another day.
Oh, oh, my soul.
Won't you pray? Won't you hear me? Won't you sing?
Oh, oh.
Somebody call the preacher and let him tell me that. Call my mother, won't you tell her to stop and pray? Be somebody, won't you help me through another day? I can't make it.